Ah.
Look at these wonderful podcast subscribers.
Hello.
As we enter your ears, ASMR.
Because you know I quite like ASMR.
Yeah. And you're saying I'm ruining
it? I'm going to fall asleep.
Is that giving you tingles, that, when Dave does that?
Is it still is that still a thing, ASMR?
Oh, it's all my 9-year-old wants. Oh, Dad, I've got these little squidges. Can we do some ASMR with them? I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Sure we can, darling. Can't wait to do that.
How do you do ASMR, though?
What? Oh, there's all sorts of... Sometimes she'll cut out some cardboard and she'll put, like, little ridges on there and use the scissors to make... Scrape across all sorts of... like. It's actually... To be fair, quite creative. I just don't want to sit down for half an hour listening to it personally.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of taking over everything kids do, ASMR, isn't it? They're always tapping their nails on things.
Tapping.
Makeup and stuff
But you're saying you're not recording. They're not recording.
They're just making sound.
Yeah. Yeah. God, the kids are saying they think of everything, don't they? Did have that when we were young, making sounds. Speaking of sounds, you lovely, beautiful, regular subscribers to the podcast will know that as part of the bonus material last week where Matt Dyson wasn't here, I was rather taken by a performance from the actor Tom Holland in an Apple TV show where he answered a telephone in such a dramatic way that just by saying the word hello, using his acting chops, it sent shivers down my spine. I'm such a fan. So I had a go at it and I got the team to have a go answering the phone in the most dramatic way they could. We also spent a lot of last week's podcast bonus material dedicated to your dad's 80th birthday.
Did you really?
So we had a little round of applause for Ken and everything.
We'd be delighted.
So Matt, you're here now and we're all here. We've got the same telephone ringing effect. We're going to use our acting chops. I want us all to answer the telephone in the most seductive way we can. I'm going to start with you, Matt.
Why do I have to go? Is this going to be me?
Because we're going to go from least seductive to most seductive, I think. It's the reason.
We're all going.
Are you saying you want me to seduce you? Is that what you're saying?
I don't like this, actually. This is a bad idea. Okay, so here we go. The phone's ringing, and then when it stops ringing, it's like you've answered it, and that's where you can seduce us. Okay, here, think of the audience. Think of the audience naked. They say that, don't they?
Do they?
Who's they?
Maybe that's just me.
You based your whole career on
Sorry, everyone. I'm not thinking of you naked, I promise. Okay, here we go.
Hello. I've not done it before. I don't know what I was going to ring for. There is a pickup noise, is there? Right, okay.
No, there's no pickup noise. I'll point. Okay. I'll point you.
Not seductive at all.
This is so seductive. It's like he picked up the phone and smashed it into his own face.
It's like the audio equivalent of a cold shower, this is. Come on.
Here we go. Shh. Come on, mindset. Seductive mindset.
Why, hello there. 622824. How can I help you?
Oh, dear.
No, it's not seductive to use your old landmine number.
a nice touch, a retro touch. Okay, Andrea, seduction.
Hello. You've reached the answering phone.
Yes, good.
Okay, here we go.
Hey. Like that.
It was a bit
English Joey for friends.
It was a bit Joey for friends.
Hey.
Hello.
Oh, God.
Hello.
Sounds like E.T.
This is like the worst ASMR ever.
Yeah. Hello.
You're ruining it.
Okay, if it's possible to do so, enjoy the show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to The Breakfast Show. You're just in time for the big man being back in the hot seat with the social ammunition, Matt. It's been a while since I've asked you this, but what is going on out there?
Yes, what a time to return to take a look at my social media once again to see that Big John, the Bosch father himself, the good Bosch man, who supports his local Chinese takeaway, has become a record breaker. Oh. What a moment this is. He memorised different items from a Chinese restaurant menu, and he said them as quickly as he could in 30 seconds.
So this is from memory, not reading mouth.
This is official from the Guinness World Records channel. He has officially set a new world record. I don't think anyone had tried it before, to be honest, but here is his 30-second run of Chinese menu items. Here we go, John.
Go. Egg fried rice, chicken fried rice, pork fried rice, special fried rice, Singapore fried rice, Singapore rice noodle, plain charming, chicken charming, pork charming, beef charming, chicken balls, prawn balls, pork balls, sweet and sour.
I love the way it says chow mein, by the way. It's very nice. And I think I could do it quicker already.
Sweet and sour, pork Hong Kong style, sweet and sour, prawn. Beef in black bean, chicken in black bean, pork in black bean, roast duck Chinese style, roast pork Chinese style, chicken Chinese style, crispy aromatic duck, seaweed, sesame prawn on toast, spicy pork, mixed hors d'oeuvres, chicken and sweet corn soup, chicken noodle soup, hot and sour soup, prawn crackers, chips, salt and chilli chips, salt and chilli chicken balls, salt and chilli pork.
Wow. Yes, stumbled over a black bean, didn't he?
He really was unfortunate. I think it's sort of cheating doing different, like the meat, the pork, the chicken, the vegetable variations of the same dish. That seems cheating to me.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Maybe you should be an adjudicator for the Guinness World Records.
Yeah, maybe I should be.
You're doing it all wrong.
Guys, stop this.
John, it's us again. Can you come back in? We've had a complaint.
But he did it, and he did his trademark Bosch at the end of it, obviously. So congratulations to Big John. It's great. We've spoken many times on this show about premium rate phone numbers from the 90s. 0898 50 50 50. Those jingles that got stuck in your head for chat lines and weird different things. And you'd end up paying a fortune on your landline phone to use them. Well, a new one from the 90s has gone viral, courtesy of the History Photographed page on Instagram. It was a premium rate phone number called the Crying Line, which was advertised on late night American TV. Okay. And it was a phone number that you'd call and you'd hear sad stories that would make you cry. If you needed a little cry, you'd phone it up, have a little cry.
I mean, everyone needs a little cry every now and again.
No, I think it's probably
what happened to just listening to a sad song.
But if you really wanted the story to get you in the gut, then this is the number that you would call.
Okay, wow.
It starts off just with some crying.
In case you forgot how to do it.
Yeah.
What makes people all over America break down and cry like this? Call 1-900-9099-CRY and hear it for yourself. $2 for the first minute, 45 cents each additional minute. If you're under 18, ask your parents before you call. 1-900-9099-CRY.
Who's asking? What? Mom, do you mind if I call the cry line?
No, you cannot. But like you say, though, it's a good thing. So, I mean, you know, maybe we should bring it back. $2
a minute.
It's a bit steep, isn't it?
Crying when you get your phone bill at the end as well.
You certainly will be. Is it weird that style story is going viral, Dave? It's up there with the guy who collected all his nail clippings in a quick save carrier bag.
Oh, good thing.
That we had on the show not long ago. Graham Barker, a 45-year-old librarian from Perth in Australia, spent 26 years collecting his own belly button fluff. He did it out of pure curiosity, apparently, and he would carefully harvest the lint from his navel every morning while waiting for the shower, storing it in colour-coded jars. In total, he had 22.1 grams of multicoloured fluff before the Guinness Book of Records recognised it as a world record in 2010.
Did they recognise it as a world record?
Yeah, they actually did. That's when he put a lid on it, literally. But it was colour-coded based on what... Because it's just lint off your clothing.
Yeah. I
mean, belly button fluff gets a bad rep. It's just fluff from your clothing.
Oh, that's because you've got a very hairy belly button, haven't you, Matt?
Yeah. You know, but if you've got a non-hairy outie, you just don't get it. It doesn't affect you in any
way. You've got no skin in the world record game, have you?
Exactly. So you can never win this record like Graham Barker did.
Did he have a particularly deep, cavernous belly button?
There are no pictures of his belly button, but there are pictures of the jars.
Well, we need pictures to prove it happened.
The jars are just, there's navel fluff, 1984 to 93, and then 94 to 2001. I mean,
can you tell his fashion choices? the floss?
Yeah, the colours were bizarre. He starts off very green, then it goes red, and then it goes a bit more bluey purpley. So
oh, okay, he matured.
He did
in
change.
His
you can certainly see the change over the years. He eventually sold the jars to a museum.
No.
For an undisclosed sum. Now they're saying that.
Which museum?
I'm not sure. He said the raw material is worthless, but the collection has a genuine curiosity value as a piece of cultural heritage.
It's one of those museums that's in someone's front room.
I think it is, yeah. Or like a Ripley's Believe It or Not sort of thing, maybe. It's a bizarre story that I will share with you later on, but the only comment below it that's had 3,651 likes just says, imagine the smell of the jars.
He's also from Australia, right? Yeah, so it's a hot country,
yes,
that's why.
Sweaty, sweaty jars of belly button fluff. Let's lighten the mood, shall we?
Please.
An American voiceover artist with a parody of every script coming her way at the moment. This is every advert you hear these days.
Your business runs on business, but your business's business is stuck in the past until now. Introducing Business AI for Business. Business AI for Business leverages the power of business AI for your business, transforming your business into AI business.
Yes.
With Business AI for Business, AI does your business in seconds, leaving your team to focus on the important business of your business. Business.
every time I hear them, that is so spot on. I think, what do you actually do?
Yeah, what am I going to do with this information? Lovely work from Emily Matheson there. She really is the business. I'll share it on my Instagram stories, Mr. Matt Dyson. Now I've filled your social hole and saved you from the daily doom scroll.
Ooh. The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
It is Monday, the 1st of June. 2026. Hello, good morning, and welcome. And do you know, I'm going to stop here. It's the 1st of June. How did it become June so quickly?
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
And a Monday starting with a one. Lovely. We're going to be able to know the date for the rest of the month.
But how has it become June already now?
Well, Dave, there's the calendar, and each month has an amount of days.
The Gregorian calendar. I'm getting schooled on it right now, this early in the morning. No, I mean, it is flying by, though, isn't it? The year so far. I can't believe it is June. And it's also already National Game Show Day. It is. And that gives us a chance to reflect on the fact that one of the most bizarre things the hyper beast Womble executive producer Mark has ever said aloud as an adult is that no one will ever beat him at catchphrase. He is a master of catchphrase. So you know what we need to do?
I think I do.
We need to call our dear friend Stephen Mulhern.
Yep.
I presume he hosts it.
Yeah.
He hosts
still
everything
hosts
else.
It with Mr. Chips, yeah.
We will get him to get Mark on as a contestant.
Oh, yeah.
Not a celebrity contestant, because you're not that.
No.
But just a normal run-of-the-mill
Plebs
contestant.
Catchphrase, yeah.
I think so. Andrea, if only we had a contact at ITV.
If only.
If only we knew someone who did like the continuity announcing on ITV. You've probably introduced Catchphrase on ITV, haven't you?
I've watched so much Catchphrase. So I know Hypebeast Womble thinks he'd be great at it. I feel like I've had a lot of practice.
Oh, so you've had a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we need an inter-breakfast show Catchphrase tournament.
Yeah. I'm dipping out of that.
Are you getting out right now?
No, I'm
dipping out.
I know what my strong suit is, and it's not that. So
what
yeah.
is your strong suit, Rich?
I don't know.
Please.
I don't know. I'm in a period of self-reflection.
I think I'm relatively. Isn't Catchphrase a kids' game? Wouldn't you say?
he's so offended.
No, I don't know. It's not. You know, it's not like it's not only Connect or Mastermind.
It's guess the weird cliched phrase, isn't it? From the picture.
Is Mr. Chips still in it?
Mr. Chips is still in it. Yeah, he's had a bit of a glow up.
Has
more
he?
Digital.
They made it more realistic. Stephen, if you're listening, get in touch with us, please. We would want to get the Hypebeast Womble on Catchphrase to see just how good he thinks he is. And now on with the show.
Some of the talky bits are preoccupied by your weirdness, and I love it when you get in touch at 8:12:15 and ask not only us here in the studio, but also the nation, whether you are weird or not, for whatever's going on. And Nick, well, I can't wait to hear your opinion on this, guys. Is it weird that I pedal my bicycle using the arches of my feet and not my toes? Now, when this popped up on the text machine here in Studio One, the debate has already raged because both the Hyper Beast Womble executive producer Mark and producer Old Swiss pedal their bikes with their toes, whereas I would use the arch of my foot to pedal. Wouldn't you use the arch of your foot to pedal?
If this fist represents the pedal,
yes,
and my right hand represents my foot,
yes,
yeah,
putting your toes onto the pedal to move it around isn't enough purchase. It needs to sit. That's why it's arched, surely, because it goes over the pedal practically.
And maybe your toes aren't very strong. Maybe is that the issue? You have weak toes.
No, I don't think I have weak toes. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying that's how I've always pedalled a bicycle.
I think I'm probably somewhere in between, a bit of toe, bit of arch. You know, a little bit of both.
I'm also a toe and arch. Yeah, I think I do both. And now I've got a triathlon this Saturday.
Have you?
And now you're freaking me out about the way I cycle. Because I'm like, I thought you could just sometimes your toes get tired. You switch to the arch.
I feel like if I only did arch, I'd get cramp in the arch. And if I only did toe, I'd get cramp in the toe. But by doing a bit of both, I'm protecting both areas.
Yeah.
Hang on. Sorry, let's go back a step. Yeah. You're telling me, Andrea, when we've been catching up recently, you know, during the songs, you've just been telling me about nothing but Jessica Fletcher when you're actually doing a triathlon on Saturday. Good luck with that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's only my second one. It's the sprint distances, so I should be fine. But now I'm worried about whether I should use my toes or my arch.
Well, we've looked into this.
Can we get Chris Hoy on the phone?
We've looked into this, and the ball of the foot is the gold standard. So what you're calling a bit of arch, a bit of toe, actually, you're on the right track there. It is the gold standard for cycling. Okay. Pedalling with your toes, though, Nick, it should be avoided. And it should be avoided at all costs. But what I do with the arch, the world of cycling has literally labelled it a niche alternative.
Oh, wow, look at you. Check you out.
Check
you're
so out special. With my so niche different. Alternative.
And sometimes I use my hands. How niche is that?
And joining us right now, we have Henry. Morning, Henry.
Morning.
Welcome along to the show. So, Henry, we've got a process here. I'm struggling to get my head around exactly what it is you are doing in your life, but that's why I was so desperate to get you on so you could explain it all to the nation. So, without further ado, let me step back. Explain to everybody what you think is weird in your world.
You know, if you get like a... you've got a butter tub there, and sometimes the lid goes a bit broken, or the paper bit inside, sometimes that you lose that or you don't put it back in. I just find it easier to melt the butter, and then I put it into a milk carton, and then you've got the lid there just to close it back up easily, and then you can just squeeze it back out onto your toast or your bread.
Simple as that.
Squeezy butter. Squeezy butter. Is that what we're talking about? Squeezy butter. You've created squeezy butter.
Squeezy butter, yeah.
There's so many questions. So you buy a tub of butter like we would, or margarine from the supermarket. You take it home, you open the tub, you put the whole block from inside into a pan and melt it?
Sometimes I'll just leave the butter on the side just to, with this warm weather, it's been easy to just let it melt on the side in the kitchen.
Let it do its thing.
Yeah, that is true.
And then you pour it into a milk carton, and then what do you do with it after that bit? Where are we at in the process after that, Henry?
Oh, so after I've poured it in, I'll just stick the carton back in the fridge and hopefully it'll go cold. If it doesn't go back to sort of how it's supposed to be, I'll put it in the freezer for a few hours just to get it right.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work just to avoid a cracked lid situation or some crumbs on your foil. Okay, so how long have you been doing this, squeezy butter?
Probably for the last 4 or 5 years, I would imagine.
Wow.
Okay, so one day you just reached in, you took the tub out of the fridge and the lid was cracked, the foil had gone back on itself and you just thought, I can't live like this anymore! Won't someone change this?
No, so what happened was, one day I left the butter out of the fridge on the side and it was a very hot day. I went to get the butter to put it in the fridge because I see it and then I thought, oh, I better put that back. I actually dropped it and the butter melted, and as you can imagine, a whole tub of butter that's melted going across the floor is not a good look.
Oh, no.
So that is where I come up with my little invention to put it in a milk carton.
Eureka moment, wasn't
it? Yeah. It always, whenever you drop butter, it always lands butter side down as well, I found. Have you ever thought about maybe taking this to Dragon's Den? Have you ever thought about asking Peter for...
250 grand for 10% of your business, Squeezy Butter?
I'll give you a tenner.
Yeah, we could make a deal.
I am thinking, why does butter not come in like a toothpaste tube style kind of applicator?
That's exactly what Henry's come up with.
It's a good idea.
Well, I once famously invented butt stick, which was like a prit stick of butter.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So then you would just rub it on top of your toast.
Oh, yeah, but you'd always have crumbs in the end of your, what was it called again?
Butt stick.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I just didn't want to say it.
That's the other thing. When you go get the butter out of the fridge and someone else has used it and they've put the knife back in there with all crumbs or jam that's in there.
Ugh, yeah.
You're not going to do that through a milk carton, are you?
Exactly.
That's us told. That is us told. Round of applause for Henry, everyone.
Absolutely.
Come on, Henry. Good job, man. Good job. Love that. The warmest of welcomes to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show here on Absolute Radio, where from time to time, we like to ask the question, how old were you when you finally discovered something that you're pretty certain everybody else on the planet already knew? Basically, Dave, I was today years old when 8, 12, 15. So the reason we're doing this is I was watching Sky Sports News over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it today? Tuesday. So 3 days ago, watching a build-up to the Arsenal-Paris Saint-Germain Champions League final.
Mm-hmm.
And down the side of the TV on Sky Sports News, they're just always advertising something that's coming up. And there was a fight. They were advertising a boxing match that was coming up. I, up until that point, so, you know, my whole life, 28 years, shut up, I thought it was bantamweight.
Banter, not bantam.
No. And it said, and there were these two fighters next to each other. They both looked super hard, and I wished both of them the best of luck.
Yeah,
I'm not a big boxing
fan.
But it said bantam weight.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, I don't say it often, luckily. You know, I don't go, I was watching any bantam weight boxing this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was banter weight.
I think I prefer banter weight because they're so light, they're always getting grief. They're always getting a bit of banter, aren't they?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was like linked to, like, you know, chat, as it were. Like, I didn't think it, I thought it must be a boxing
weight,
term.
Banter weight.
It's like the face off, isn't it, when they have the banter at the start? You know, they're sort of like giving it a bit, that's the banter weight bit before. The bantam.
Yeah, but I wondered if the word banter that people, and regrettably, may I add, used, you know, as a term for kind of cheeky conversation, I thought it maybe had its roots in kind of boxing heritage from, you know, hundreds of years ago.
Yes.
So I thought they were banterweights.
No.
And that's what banter meant.
No.
But they're bantam, which
bantam.
Isn't... What does that even mean?
Bantam? I'm not 100% sure that does.
So
mean,
let's change it. Eddie Hearn, chicken. I know you listen from time to time. Get it changed, man. Doesn't make any sense. Morning, Dave and the team. It's Dean in Barnsley. I've just learned that there's a built-in straw holder in cans of pop. You simply pull the ring pull over the hole and slot in the straw.
Yeah.
I found out that little gem last Saturday. I'm 50.
Yeah.
So Dean Barnsley was 50 when he found out you
My
could do that little thing with
doing
the ring
that.
Pull.
Yeah, always doing that. Spin it round, stick the straw in.
What difference does it make, though?
It just keeps the straw still.
Yeah, I mean, it stops it from moving around.
Flopping
around.
There's
little
bit. Oh, because sometimes you get a bobber, don't you? You get one that bobs up and down. So that's what that's for. Mm. Okay. I know what you're thinking. What are you doing right now, Dave? Well, I'm having people message me about what bantam is. Thanks to Jess and Adelson, who was the first through the door. She says, Dave and the team, love the show. A bantam is a small variety of fowl, usually a chicken
Chickens,
or duck.
I thought so, yeah. That's weird, isn't it? Why name that weight of boxer after a type of chicken?
Yeah, there's not like a cruiser chicken, is there?
No, there's not a capon boxer either, is there, for the heavyweight. But I suppose featherweight is the real...
Oh, one. I see what you mean.
That is related to poultry, but then that's where it stops.
That's where it stops. It's not like we have emu weight or turtle weight.
Bigger
birds. Bradford City fans are called the Bantams, by the way.
Yes, they are.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
That is because, and I didn't know this because I've just Googled the reason why, their iconic claret and amber kit resembles the colourful plumage of the Bantam chicken. That's the reason why.
They're cockerels, aren't they? There's a Jake Thackeray album which featured one on the front cover, I seem to recall.
Well, I thought it was because they were always committing fouls. hang on a second. Let me get it out. Here we go. There you go. About time.
Great poultry game.
Not even half eight. Look at him. Saving it for the power hour. From bantam to heavyweight banter, welcome to the Breakfast Show. Russ in Watford says, good morning, Dave, good morning, team. I was today years old when I discovered that my friend thought that raw plugs were called wall plugs. Because, and I quote, they go in the wall.
No, it's rawl, isn't it? R-A-W-L.
Yeah, but the hypebeast Womble thought they were raw plugs.
Raw plugs. Raw plugs and warm plugs.
Which is something very different.
Yeah. Is there no such thing as wall plugs?
They're a wall, like socket, wall sockets,
yes,
you probably call
them. Socket in the wall, plug in the wall.
The thing that you drill, that's a wall plug.
That's what he's saying.
I'm with Russ then. I also thought it was called a wall plug. I thought it was a wall plug.
Wall plug is a better name for it, for what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, to give Russ's friend that, it is a better name for it, but no, they're raw plugs, R-A-W-L. Hi, Dave, I recently discovered at 45 years old that the rec we used to go to was short for recreation ground and not rec, W-R-E-C-K. As I always thought, I assumed it was called a wreck because it was just run down. Yeah. Hence the name from Gareth. It's true. Guys, I was 18 in 1987 when I discovered that telling my friends I would be showing up to the pub in my birthday suit didn't mean I'd be wearing my on-trend 80s suit from Burton's.
Oh, no.
Oh, he got a suit for his birthday. I'm going to wear it out. Yeah, great idea.
Morning, Dave and the team. I always thought it was named a Joe Carriageway.
What?
I've thought that since I was a kid. And I only recently discovered that it's actually called a dual carriageway.
Yeah.
I'm 46.
Wow.
Dual carriageway does make complete sense, to be fair.
Much more sense. That's one of those ones where the parents have said, I'm not going to correct it, because it's adorable.
That's so cute.
Even into his 40s, we're not going to correct it.
Yeah, I think we need to make a pact. Those of us who are parents, we all know that, you know, I don't want Evie to ever stop calling it a form head instead of a forehead. Exactly. But there comes a point when you've got to let them know as parents.
If you let it get to the point where they're texting into a radio show, because they haven't been told, it's gone too far.
And that was from Steve in Dunfermline, of course, pulled over safely off the Joe carriageway before sending that message. Thank you, Joe. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team, says one text. I was today years old when I realised that Lewis Capaldi, the singing sensation, and former Doctor Who Peter Capaldi are second cousins once removed. Is that even related?
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew they were related, but I thought that Peter Capaldi was Lewis Capaldi's uncle.
Yeah.
That's related.
That's really close.
Is second cousins once removed even related?
Second cousin once removed.
I mean, I think I'm your second cousin once removed.
Yeah, yeah. What is the detail on second cousin once removed is even more confusing.
Go on.
Either the child of your second cousin or your parent's second cousin.
You know what I'm going to do? You know, like those true crimes where they have the board with people's pictures on it and their little red string?
You've got to do a family tree. If you can see it on a family tree, it'll probably make sense.
So who is it again?
So second means you and that person share great-grandparents, while once removed indicates you are separated by one generation.
They've just got the same surname.
Let's just say they've got the same surname and they're both Scottish. There you go. That's enough.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
It is time to discuss the fact that we are replacing historical figures on the back of banknotes with a collection of mammals, birds, amphibians, insects, and fish. Yes. And you decide! Yeah.
Today is the day that voting starts, that we cut down the shortlist on what animals will be on your 5, 10, 20, and £50 notes as they replace the historical figures. So there's lots of what producer Mark has described as posh animals.
What, the Eurasian curlew?
Yeah, exactly.
How could you call that a posh
animal?
There's
no, like, commoner garden animals, like your cats, your dogs. You know, where's the beloved British bulldog? Why isn't that going to be on there? Come on. So there's some like emperor dragonfly, which would look quite nice.
That's quite nice. I mean, what about a pigeon, though? You know, when you talk about posh or common.
A seagull. We're synonymous with the seagull.
The basking shark is a strange choice.
You know what,
I've got nothing against basking sharks, but it's a strange choice.
They're huge, ugly mouths. You don't want that on a fiver.
I'll set them up again with basking sharks.
The barn owl, looks great. Mm. The bumblebee, brilliant. There's some clear winners for
me. Do you want to hear what my... This is my selection.
Mm.
The fiver has to be the grey seal.
Right, okay, yeah, good. Okay.
The tenner I'm giving to the brown hair.
Okay, yeah, yeah, the hair, yeah.
The £20 note is, Matt, the dragonfly, the emperor dragonfly.
Yes, good.
And for the 50, I am going for the buff-tailed bumblebee.
Oh, yes,
because if
you've
got a 50 on you, you feel quite buff-tailed.
Oh, you've got a bumble. Oh, check this guy out, he's got a bumble. Yeah. That would work well, wouldn't it?
So
yeah, certainly.
That's what I'm going for. And as Matt says, you know, you can have your say on this. You can vote on a website, I imagine.
Yes,
I mean,
you can vote from today, yeah. Have your say. I mean,
Have your say. But as we've already established, Mark, the hype beast Womble, he's disillusioned by this.
He
called them all posh animals, which is a strange thing to say. But he's not the kind of guy who just is going to potty mouth something and then move on. He'll always come up with a solution, an answer.
Yeah.
He's got another idea of what we could do with the back of banknotes. It's quite cool, Badgie, for a grown person to want this to happen. But I'm coming round to his way of thinking. Mm. But the Hypebeast Womble executive producer, Mark, is not happy about this. Mm. But he's got an alternative. He thinks on the back on your cool badge day. He just blurted it out.
It's good. I like it.
Yeah, he thinks we should have different James Bonds.
Yeah.
I don't mind that at all.
For all the denominations, you've got a classic Bond actor. It works.
Matt was so in straight away that you've even got us. who you think should definitely be on the 50.
On the 50 is Lazenby, because they're quite rare. I can't split a Lazenby. Check this guy out. He's got a Lazenby. But I think the lower ones, I mean, they've got to be Connery and Moore, haven't they, for the lower ones? The five.
Oh, yeah. How much is that? Two Moores and a Connery?
Yeah. I think it's a really good idea. Celebrating a great British film institution.
Does that mean that Daniel Craig is the fiver?
He's a fiver.
He's a 20. Over Bronson, he's the 20?
Oh, Bronson. No, yeah. Bronson's got to be a 20.
Mm.
Bronson's on the 20. Don't you? He's so passionate on your cool badge day. We'll have to... Okay. If we were doing banknotes with Bond on the back, who's going on what? This is your chance to vote. It's 8 to 12. Are you sure? Roger Moore's got to be the 20.
Yeah, sure.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you think? No. Rich, what do you think?
I don't want to argue with anyone in here, especially the Hypebeast Womble, who's very passionate about this,
so
clearly.
So passionate. He says clearly. So little on the show. Adrian, Daltrey on the 20 or more?
No, I think I'm
going to
go
Dalton
with more.
Daltrey on the 20.
Yeah. Okay, this is big talk. But and on the fiver, so what are we saying? The fiver is what we would consider to be the lesser Bond.
Yeah.
Or are they more popular because you see more of them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lazenby's on the 50.
That's right, yeah.
Who is the great spotted woodpecker of the James Bond universe?
That's the question.
A lot of people are saying we're forgetting David Niven. Of course, the first person to portray Bond on the big screen.
Only in one film, wasn't
he? Casino Royale, the original Casino Royale, based on the original book. So... David Niven on a tenner. I don't know if it's going to happen. Bond baddies on the back of a note. The king on one side, Blofeld on the other. What's not to love about that?
Bond goody on one side and then the Scaramanga on the
Scaramanga.
Other side. That's nice, yeah.
That's from Lee in Sheffield. Roger Moore has to be on the 20 because of rhyming slang reasons. Yes, in certain parts of the country, of course, £20 is known as a score.
Yes.
So Roger Moore score.
Yes.
Okay.
Lend me a Roger. Good.
James in his studies goes on to say, lend me a Roger, and I like that. That'll be a Roger, please, mate. Morning team, James Bond on our money, easy to do. Now, here's a breakdown from Barry in Walsall. £5, Connery.
Mm-hmm.
£10 more. So far, the Hypebeast Womble's low.
Yeah, it's bristling.
He's not attacked me, he's not leapt over the desk. £20, Brosnan. Oh, he doesn't like that one, Barry. Doesn't like that one, Barry.
No.
£50, Craig.
Yeah.
Dalton and Lazenby, he goes on. Yeah. Calm down, take a breath. Dalton and Lazenby can be used on any specially minted £5 coins.
Does that make you happy, Mark? Is that okay?
No.
I've got a view to a kill, right?
Oh.
Oh, God. Come on, guys, what are you thinking? David Niven on the 50, Timothy Dalton on the 20?
Ooh.
Yeah, Marie, is she doing it for you? Marie's doing it, okay. Timothy Dalton on the 20,
Sean Comrie on the 10, Roger Moore on the 5, because the 5 and the 10s are the most common, as were Connery and Moore when doing James Bond film. Bellissimo for Marie in Nottingham.
Well done.
Well done, Marie. You've saved us a lot of trouble there. I'm eternally grateful to you. Whew. With your help, we are compiling the list of unusual trust issues, things that are going on deep in the psyche of the fine folk of the UK are finally out there for us all to be aware of at 8, 12, 15. Dave, I don't trust people who turn up to work with wet hair.
I've never thought about it before.
How busy are you?
What's going on there?
Unless it's raining, of course, in which case it's okay.
That's fine. But if you're also, if you've just been to the gym, showered and now arrived at work, don't be that person. I can't trust people who do advert catchphrases from years ago. Their skullduggery isn't fooling me.
Oh. I mean, we've often talked about this. It's the lowest form of wit, isn't it? Quoting something from Little Britain. It's right up there.
Ashley says, I don't trust the first person on the street to put out their bin.
Oh, wow.
But where would we be without the binfluers?
Exactly. Yeah. They lead the way.
Yeah.
We need them, Ashley. Dave, I have trust issues with anyone who wears three-quarter length tracksuit bottoms. Yes, Mark, in Redditch.
Well said.
Yes.
Well,
it is going on the list.
A horrible cut.
How did it ever come to be?
What the hell is going on?
How did it ever come to be? When did we believe as a society it was okay to be able to unzip the bottom of your trousers to turn them into three-quarter length tracksuit bottoms?
It's so Lonsdale. It's Lonsdale.
It's so impossibly Lonsdale.
Oh,
so impossible. With those little kind of flat taekwondo shoes.
Oh, no, yeah. Strongly hate.
I feel like you're specifically talking about a person, Dave.
No, just a general look. I don't trust people who don't use the built-in box cutter on tinfoil or cling film and just rip it by hand.
Yeah, the cutter's right there.
Well, I think it depends what your type of foil and cling film you buy, because if you buy cheap, the cutters are awful, aren't they?
Really?
Yeah, and then sometimes I have to use...
I don't buy cheap, that's what I've just revealed.
I sometimes do a bit of chefy and like put it on the chopping board and cut it with a knife. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I'm in a catering.
I get one use out of it. Tin foil I'm okay with, but cling film, I have an attempt at that first tear. It all kind of congeals in on itself and I'd put it back in the box and just put it in the drawer and never use it again. It's done. I've ruined it.
Dave, I was always taught, so this is nice, there's already a rich backstory here, this person's parents or a beloved grandparent passed on down the years. I was always taught never trust a man who wears a thumb ring.
That's so specific. As Grandma always said.
Good point.
I don't trust people that walk whilst reading a book.
Or people who walk around with their arms crossed.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone walk with their arms crossed.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, why would you do that?
Unless you were angry, you'd have to be really angry.
unless you're an Oxbridge professor, you shouldn't be walking around reading a book either. You know, it's at the beginning of some kind of television programme set in Oxford. People walk around with their arms behind their back. We think not arms crossed, but arms on the back. Acceptable if you're on holiday.
Yeah, or in an art gallery.
Or you're Liam Gallagher on tour. That's the only three times you should have your arms behind your back. I don't trust men with bouffant hair. And right now, I don't trust people who win Make Me a Winner and don't scream their heads off from Steve in Kent.
Yes. The underwhelmed reaction.
That's the shock, though. They're in shock. They think it's their friend pranking them.
Yeah.
Steve says, I don't trust people who wander aimlessly around the high street, stopping and staring at random, veering left and right, and generally not going anywhere in particular. I call them Meanderthals.
Oh, wow, he's got a name.
That's excellent.
Really good name.
I wasn't with Steve at first, but then Meanderthals is very, very good.
Wandering,
Greg from Manchester has struck quite the chord here. Dave and the team, I don't trust people who walk their cats.
Oh, there's worse things to walk, though. I've seen people walk ferrets, parrots.
Yes, I see ferrets. We all know that guy. More than cats, actually.
But, I mean, Greg, you're kind of onto something there. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Is it just seeing cats on leads? I don't want to see cats on leads. You can't cage a cat. Dogs like being on leads. They're like, oh, I love you. But cats want to be out and about, maybe. I don't know.
You might be right.
Mark in Swindon, who doesn't trust people who shine their shoes.
Oh, what?
That is a lot of people.
Jeff in Belfast doesn't trust people who do their food shop in petrol stations. Dave, I have a deep mistrust of people who have a sellotape dispenser at home.
Yeah.
If you've got an office, at home, you might need one.
My parents have got a sellotape dispenser
at
their house.
Yeah. I think we have at our house, to be honest.
They've got a guillotine as well.
Really?
No, not really.
For present wrapping.
I don't trust anyone who keeps their toaster in a cupboard. I do that.
Do you?
My in-laws did that.
You only get it out for special occasions.
Well, for toasting, mainly, yeah.
But you're obviously toasting on not a regular basis.
I'm not a regular toast. No, because I'm here.
Clear me out.
The best years of my life I could have spent toasting have been spent here in a studio environment entertaining the nation.
And you're not allowed to toast in this building, are you?
You can't toast in this building.
Illegal.
But then by the time I get back at, like, you know, it's lunchtime, it's I'm not toasting then.
Toast time's gone.
So maybe I'll get out of the weekends and have a little toast up on a Saturday with Evie.
But the rest of the time, it's hidden away.
It has to be. Yeah. Dave and the team, never trust a man who lets his tie hang below his waist.
Oh, yes, fully agree.
But too short is also a trust issue.
Yeah,
You're not in Grange Hill, mate. So either way, you've got to get it bang on for us to trust you. Well, you are busy, I know that, so allow me to bring you up to speed. Recently on The Breakfast Show, we were discussing the fact that they're going to take historical figures off the back of banknotes, they're going to replace them with animals. The Hypebeast Womble said, I have a much better idea. That's never ended well, by the way. He said, I have a much better idea. Why don't we replace them with James Bond?
Yeah, which was a great idea.
Which actually is not a bad idea. And, you know, you love that and you got in touch about it. And a few people were at pains to point out that, well, what about putting Bob Holness on the back of the £10 note? Mm-hmm. Because he played James Bond in the radio play version of Moonraker, which we discovered was true. But, of course, you cannot Google Bob Holness, the host of Blockbusters, without this coming up. The fact he played sax. Baker Street.
Yes. Or is it a fact? That's the big problem.
Well, it's not a fact. Matt, remind me what I discovered a couple of days ago.
We had to look it up again, because the BBC News did a massive article setting the record straight that this was made up.
Time well spent by that journalist, I must say.
Turns out it was Stuart McConey in The Enemy in 1990. He made it up in a little gossip column and it blew up and everyone believed it for the next 10 years.
It's brilliant work as always from Stuart, isn't it? But it leads me on to what I'd like to ask you this morning, because after that all kind of transpired on The Breakfast Show, I revealed that someone had gone onto my Wikipedia and changed it, saying that I had the largest collection of Toby jugs in the UK, which is a vicious rumour. But a funny one, nonetheless. Yeah. I mean, I can't be mad, can I? That's hilarious. So I want to know, at 8, 12, 15, have you ever had a silly rumour made up about you? Or have you made up a silly rumour about a friend that's kind of maybe gone too far? As I say, the number is 8 12 15. Get them into us right now. Obviously, the silliest one, you know, I've said this a couple of times now, in case you missed it, was somebody changed my Wikipedia to say that I had Britain's largest collection of Toby jugs, which is just ridiculous, but also quite funny.
Actually, I remember someone also texted in not long, about a year or so ago, I think it was. You remember this, Dave? He said he went to the same school as you in Southeast London. Seems to know quite a lot of detail. And he said that you were a founder member of the Furby gang. Do you remember that? And he said you loved the fluffy little toys from the 90s so much that you formed a club with like-minded classmates. But you denied it. Dave denied it, but he's got a sort of coy look on his face, don't you?
I've gone red again, though.
So he denied it. But I think, you know, there's no smoke without fire sometimes.
I'll sue. Quite frankly, I'll sue.
Okay, right. Send out a cease and desist to that guy.
Of course, Furbies are a gateway to Toby jugs. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that.
It all makes sense.
Yeah. So 8, 12, 15, what about you? Hi, team. A friend was convinced he had seen me trying to ride a police horse at the poll tax riots back in the 80s. He said I was clearly visible on the news at 10. From Anonymous.
That's a good one.
Jeremy in Brighton. Morning, team. At university, there was a false rumour about my mate Matt and that he had an aggressive tapeworm because he ate big dinners.
not a good one to have spread around campus, is it?
So there we go. From tapeworms to police horses, what are the silly made-up rumours in your world? Ross in Portsmouth says, morning, Dave. Morning, team. I had a Geordie mate, Greg. I made up a rumour that he was in Biker Grove when he was a kid. Only a minor role. That's how you start these rumours. Only a minor role.
That's a good way in. Mm.
But he was a key character because he was the one who blinded Ant in the paintball incident.
Wow, the iconic scene. Wow.
Really stands out from all of our childhoods, that one, doesn't it? When we were out, I'd always introduce him as that. And it was the story that we would stick to. I still call him Biker Grove Greg now, 20 plus years later. Isn't that impressive?
The BGG, yeah.
Charlotte's got in touch. This packs quite a punch. It's an opening gambit to a correspondence, Charlotte. Morning, Dave. When I was at school, everyone spread a rumour that I fancied my dad.
What?
Charlotte does go on to explain. She's an Arsenal fan, so congratulations on that, Charlotte. And I had a signed photo of Freddie Ljungberg after his red hair phase. And as Freddie was bald, and my dad's bald, everyone just assumed I fancied my own dad.
It's quite elite.
And then Charlotte goes out on a high with horrific. Have a great day. So, and you, Charlotte.
Lovely sign off.
And you.
That's an awful rumour.
Rumour starts this text. Someone at my old job started a rumour saying that Mick Hucknall was my father just because I had ginger hair.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of gingers get that.
Lazy rumour mongering, man.
100%, Matt, 100%. Daniel's kid. Oh, Daniel. He says, morning, Dave. My 11-year-old son, Samuel, told his friends at school, if you punch my daddy in the armpit, he will poo himself.
How did he find that out?
Oh, children.
Your own flesh and blood.
What a bizarre rumour.
There's just one more I felt was important to do from David in Inverness. And he says, hi, Dave. Hi, team. When I was at primary school, going way back, when I was at primary school, there was a rumour that a boy in another class had a grey...
Redacted.
Because he didn't eat fish.
Oh, no.
That does not happen when you don't eat fish.
We're definitely calling it a day there. Thank you for getting in touch. We love them so much.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.